During this Lenten season, we're looking at three canticles. The word canticle means a little song. And the three canticles, of course, are the Magnificat, the Benedictus, and the Nunc Dimittis. This evening, we're looking at the Magnificat, words of Mary, found in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, the God-man Savior, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also born of the Virgin Mary, dear fellow redeemed, one of the best ways to look forward in faithful joy is to look back. Mary's joy is greatly increased when she realized that she was a participant in all the great blessings that God bestowed upon his people, Israel. What great blessings she had showered upon her. She was chosen to be the very mother of the Savior of the world. Indeed, as long as generations come and go, she will be called blessed because of the great things God has done for her. But in her song of praise, Mary also declares that God has done great things for all of his children throughout all generations till the end of time. Her joy also is strengthened when she says in this hymn of praise that those who have not will have, while those who have will have not. Mary magnifies. That means she praises, exalts, glorifies, adores her Lord God. From her whole being, she is rejoicing in God, her Savior. And what precious words she says. She praises God not only for choosing her to be the Savior of all the world, but also to be her own Savior. What a blessing that God gave to her, that she would bear in her womb and give to life the Savior of mankind. And yet in turn, God says, the blessing to you, Mary, is that your baby will give to you everlasting life. Mary calls her son, Jesus, her Savior. She needed a Savior just like you and me, like every single other person ever conceived in the history of this world. For she had a simple heart too, just like you and me. But unlike you and me, she, out of the countless millions of possibilities, was chosen to be the one. Chosen to be the one whom God called be the mother of her son, the Savior of mankind. We read again her words in her hymn of praise. "For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." We see that Mary was indeed a child of the Old Testament. Almost every single phrase of her Magnificat finds a corresponding passage in the Old Testament. She knew her scriptures very, very well. When she spoke praise to the Lord from her heart, she spoke to the Lord the Lord's words. She didn't have to look at these passages up either. She knew them in her heart, and they flowed from her heart to her tongue, off her mouth, and off her lips. Some passages that Mary is quoting in this Magnificat come from the Psalms, from Genesis, from Job, from Isaiah, and from Micah. Her knowledge of the Old Testament scripture was indeed very thorough. Mary humbly acknowledges that this blessing that has been given to her was not because of anything that she had ever done. She wasn't called to be the mother of the Savior of the world because of her being clean and good and pure and holy or obedient and chaste. It was simply because of the undeserved love and grace of God. Excuse me. Mary's not making a proud boast or self-righteous claim when she says, "From now on, behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed." She's simply stating a fact. She's prophesying. She's not saying, "From now on, the world is going to call me holy or perfect or sinless or pure. They're going to call me blessed." And what does blessed mean? It means happy. And from one generation to the next, since the time Mary gave birth to Jesus, that is what the generations have said. Mary has been called blessed, happy. Why? She tells us in her text, "For he who is mighty has done great things for me." And that's our theme. Mary shows us how to celebrate Christmas. First of all, with a happy heart of joy, giving all glory to God for the wonderful things he has done for her and for us. Our Christmas celebration of joy can be filled with happiness, not just now, and not just through this new year, but throughout our time on this earth, if we focus our attention, our mind, and our thoughts upon Christ and the message of salvation. Isn't it a remarkable thing that even as God chose Mary to bear and carry Jesus in her womb, God has chosen you and me to bear and carry Jesus in our hearts. And we have that word of God in our hearts, the message of Jesus' sacrifice, of his suffering and his death. It'll fill our hearts and it'll be expressed with our lips. When we know this message from the cradle to the cross to the empty tomb, and that fills our hearts, we'll not only have this joy throughout our lifetime, but we'll be able to sing praises to God and tell others about the Savior of mankind, even as Mary praised God in this song of praise. Secondly, we see that Mary shows how to celebrate Christmas by praising God for his acts of mercy that he has done for all believers. Verse 50, we read, "His mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation." When father and mother respect the Lord with repentant hearts and live in obedient love to their Savior, and then teach that to their children, the next generation, this promise comes to pass. From one generation to another, the Lord's mercy shall extend. What a great blessing. I'm sure you see it in your families too. When you see one generation and the next generation and now the third generation all being brought up into fear and nurture of the Lord God, having the word of God being passed from grandfather to grandmother to or grandson to grandchild to great-grandchild. What a great blessing to be able to see in our congregations generations of families worshiping the Lord, hearing that good news of salvation. May that inspire you as parents, as grandparents, and as great-grandparents to continually speak to your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and your children this good news of forgiveness and salvation alone through this Messiah, the Savior Jesus. Throughout this last portion of Mary's Song of Praise, there's a contrasting picture that she's drawing here. There's a moral contrast, there's a spiritual contrast, and a social contrast. She says, all those who revere God's name will have a blessing from one generation to the next. But all those who are great in their own eyes, who look upon themselves as being important, neglect God's word, they're going to be scattered. We read verses 51 and 53. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. There's a moral contrast between the repentant and those who are self-righteous in their pride. There's a social contrast between those of low estate and those who are ruling. And there is a spiritual contrast between those who hunger and thirst after righteousness and those who think themselves rich because of their own good works. And these words of Mary were a prophecy. They came true during Jesus' lifetime. The proud, the mighty, the rich, the rulers of Israel, they had, by most of them, had nothing to do with Jesus. To whom did Jesus turn? To whom did he proclaim the forgiveness of sins and life forever and salvation? Upon whom did he perform most of his miracles? Upon the lowly. Upon those who are repentant. Upon the people of the streets. The faithful. Those who hungered and thirsted after him for forgiveness, life, and salvation. The Lord did not choose the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the priests to be his disciples. No. He chose the lowly fishermen. He chose the despised tax collectors. He chose the less educated. He chose the average. He chose the ordinary. Those who thought themselves to be something did not listen to him. But we are those spiritual lowly. We're the spiritually destitute. We're the ones without merit or worthiness on our part. By the power of the Holy Spirit working upon our hearts through the law, we're led to realize our hunger and our thirst for righteousness. When someone does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, there is an emptiness in their soul. There's an emptiness in their life. But unless the law has led them to see their own sins, they don't realize what that emptiness is or where that emptiness is. And so they look for it in all kinds of worldly things. But when the Holy Spirit leads us to realize the emptiness in our soul is because of our sinfulness and we are not one with God, then they'll never see it. When the Holy Spirit leads us to realize that we are the destitute and the lowly, and then he comes with his good message of, come to me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. What a joy that is to fill our hearts and our souls with his good news. Thank the Lord that he often in our lives, as we look back upon the past of our own lives, has also scattered the sinful pride and the arrogant thoughts that we at times acted on, put us down, laid us low. Thank God that he at times sent us away empty when we were expressing thoughts of self-righteousness or self-reliance and let us come crashing down. Those times in our lives are clear evidence the Lord truly does love us greatly. When he allows us to be crushed by the law, crushed by the burden of the law, to lead us to realize that we are simply poor beggars that have the greatest gift ever given, the gift of life through Jesus. What a marvelous lesson for us to learn as we begin and rapidly approach another season of celebrating Christmas. May the Holy Spirit fill our hearts, first of all, with humbleness, humbly standing with awe at this miracle of miracles. God the Son came into this world to take our place, to become a human being like you and me. The God-man, Savior of mankind, Jesus Christ, in human flesh and blood. May the Holy Spirit also fill our hearts with happy hearts, acknowledging the wonderful things that God has not only done for Mary, but done for us, in bringing us not only to faith in Jesus Christ, but saying, here, now you bear, you carry my Son in your heart, and tell the world about him. Make your own canticles, your own little songs of hymns of praise about Jesus to other people. And may the Holy Spirit also fill our hearts with repentant hearts, to this realize that we have no righteousness of our own, but we hunger and we thirst after the righteousness that Jesus Christ has already promised to give us, so that we are filled with the good news of Jesus. And then, from one generation to the next generation, people will also call you and me blessed, happy in Christ. Amen.